Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It feels like a normal show. It's incredible. It was a sports pack weekend. It's Monday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, whatever the platform, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. I sat on a couch yesterday. I got up early, went in a real steamy run at Manhattan Beach. It was foggy. It was like Scooby-Doo. I was running next to a Scooby-Doo van. And after about 4 miles, I'm sopping wet. And I came back home, and I turned the television on. I didn't turn it off all day. Joy Taylor is joining me. 1 hour from now, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, our best in months. Yesterday, I just sat there. I'm never taking sports for granted. I watched golf. Brooks Koepka was great. And then I watched Yankees-Red Sox. I watched two NBA games. To these NBA games, they feel like playoff games.
Absolutely. And they've done such a good job with the sound. I just honestly sometimes really forget what's going on.
I did. So it's great to have you in today. So let me start with this. Houston beat Milwaukee. I'm not going to be negative. That is not who I am. I'm going to not talk about how Chris Middleton was 1-for-6 in the fourth quarter and the Bucks appeared to shrink. I'm not going to go there. I am going to be uplifting Colin, positive Colin, optimistic, joyful Colin. Houston's interesting. Westbrook was great yesterday. More than any team in the NBA, Houston has benefited from 4.5 months off. Westbrook and Harden are ball-centric. We have seen this happen several times, both last couple of years. They're shot fighters by the end of the first round. They're just tired. I mean, Harden, one of the great scorers in the last 12 years in the NBA, has had awful stretches, awful halves, awful games. He's worn out. He's worn out by the second round. And Westbrook just unravels. Now, neither one has ever been a great defensive player. Harden initially in the league was terrible. Westbrook was just indifferent. He spent all his energy on offense. But yesterday, I thought they were both good defensively against a very good team in Milwaukee. They played their butts off. Westbrook played great yesterday. Now, it remains to be seen if they can beat good teams 4 times in a week. But here is what I think they are. The way it works in the NBA, because players have such control over the floor and the mood of the team, you become the personality of your star. And Westbrook is so erratic and intense that really the Rockets are two teams. They're really two teams. Is that, you know, the old Jekyll and Hyde. They had a great win against the Lakers this year and an ugly loss. They split. They had a great win against Milwaukee this year and a loss. They split. They played the Clippers in 4 games this year. They beat them at one point by 15. They lost by double figures. They split. Houston had horrible losses this year. They lost by 20 to Orlando. They lost to Charlotte. They lost to the Knicks. They lost by 30 to Phoenix. They lost to Detroit. This is what they are. And last night, you got the good Houston. You got all the energy of Westbrook and Harden. You got defense. You got focus. You got intensity. This is the good Houston. Again, I don't think in the history of the NBA I can ever remember a team winning that was a roller coaster. But my question is the roller coaster element of Houston gone? They not only look refreshed and look energized, it is how they beat Dallas the other night. Watch the entire game. It's how they beat Milwaukee last night. Watch the entire game. It is that late in the game where we've seen Westbrook unravel and Harden unravel. They were fantastic. They were not erratic. They were focused. They were driven. They were efficient. It's not that they won the 2 games over the weekend. It's how they won them. These are the two guys in the NBA that are great, but unravel at the end of games, at the end of series, unravel at the end of moments. They were the better team only for about the last 5 minutes of both games. Dallas outplayed them for most of it. Milwaukee outplayed them for most of it. It was the opposite of what we've come to expect from Houston. Oh, they're great late, totally focused. So, you know, I think there are teams that probably, like a Denver, I'm not sure if the bubble helped. Young teams playing well with good chemistry don't need 4.5 months off. This is the team that has benefited from the bubble, and they're a split personality. And yesterday, you got the really good personality, and they can beat anybody in the league. Can they beat them 4 times? I'm not sure, but the time off benefits them. All right, let's shift to a Laker team. I don't think it's a championship team. I know I live in Los Angeles, and many of you think, Colin's such a homer. No, I'm not. Lakers are not a championship team. And one of the reasons is they have no wiggle room. You got to have wiggle room to win championships. Bad stuff happens. Guys get hurt. The Lakers have no wiggle room. I mean, yesterday's a prime example. AD's a little off. LeBron takes a break. Toronto goes in a 10-0 run. But in the NBA, we tend to think only about the top two players because, you know, we were raised in this, you know, Kareem and Magic and Shaq and Kobe and Michael and Pippen and Bird and McHale and LeBron and Kyrie. So we've kind of been raised in this. Okay, you got two stars. But what I would argue with you, if you look at the third best player, and let's take the last 7 championship teams, that is the key. Because everybody's got two stars. You're not generally getting to the championship level without a top 5 player in the finals, and almost all of them have a second great player. Let's go to the last 7 championship teams. Who was their third player? Okay, so let's go to Toronto. Kyle Lowry, an Eastern All-Star. He's not a 1 or a 2. He's a great 3. Warriors, Klay Thompson twice. Best catch and shoot jump shooter maybe in the league in 20 years. 2016, Kevin Love. Kevin Love's a perennial all-star. Averaged 16-6 that year. Draymond Green. Oh, he was the defensive player of the year, certainly in that class. Kawhi Leonard. He was the third best player on that team that year. Duncan and Parker were better. He won the MVP. And then in Miami, Chris Bosh. Hall of Famer. Gonna get a lot of votes. I'd vote him in. He's on the show today, by the way. So my point being, we spend so much time looking at the star. Oh, Giannis will win. The question with Milwaukee is Chris Middleton even a 2? Because I think Chris Middleton would be arguably one of the league's best 3s. If Klay Thompson is your 2, you're a really good team. If Klay Thompson's your 3, you're getting into dynasty status. When Chris Bosh is your 3, here's the Texas High School Player of the Year. He's a first-team college All-American. He's 25-8 in Toronto. Oh, he's our 3rd best player? That's what happens to the dynasties. That's when dynasties take place. You start looking at, and Dennis Rodman at one point was the 4th best Bull. It's like, oh, timeout. Ron Harper was coming off the bench. He'd been an all-star. Start looking at your 3. You know, Kyle Lowry's taken a lot of heat because he doesn't deliver in the clutch. But last year, he was their 3. It's like, oh, no, Kyle's a really good 3. That's a team that wins a championship. So with the Lakers, it's Kyle Kuzma. He's having his worst year, 12.5 a game, 30% from three-point land, and a player that is so young, he is still wildly inconsistent. He doesn't have that sort of walk into the arena, I'm going to drop 22 feel to him. He doesn't. He's young. I get it. This is a men win titles, not the young kids. So when you start looking at the Lakers, there's just no wiggle room. LeBron struggles, trouble. You know, everybody took so much from the Lakers' win over the Clippers. Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell, 2 of their top 6 guys, did not play. Did not play. So I just don't think this Laker team's a championship team. I just don't. I think they're good. I think they're fun. But yesterday, AD's off. They big struggles. Toronto, I couldn't tell you the last time the Lakers beat Toronto, by the way. Could not tell you the last time they beat them.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Well, Chris Bosh is going to be a Hall of Famer. It's not just the fact that he played for 13 seasons as well as an all-star in 11 of them. He is also part of one of the most memorable brief dynasties, the Miami Heat with 2 rings and a gold medalist. From the best high school player in Texas to an All-American at Georgia Tech to an All-Star in Toronto, One of the classier, smarter guys that's played in this league for a long time, and he is now joining us on the phone, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. So, first of all, Mr. Bosch, I see you in the virtual fan category. I'm watching Lakers, Clippers, and your face is in the crowd. So, Mr. Big Shot, how did that happen? Explain it to the audience.
Well, that was you know, an opportunity, you know, with Michelob, actually. You know, I'm sure I'm not the only person intrigued by this situation.
Right.
You know, trying to figure out how to keep the league going and the season going and keep people in, you know, with jobs and stuff like that. But, you know, trying to play the game and stuff like that. So, you know, I thought it was a very interesting experience and really seeing how it's really sticking and how guys and girls are tuning in pretty much to every game. I mean, it's almost like the NCAA tournament almost.
Yes,
where
yes.
Basketball every day.
You know, Chris, it's interesting. I said this. Joy and I talked about this. I said, we forget how brutal NBA travel is. These guys aren't going to 33,000 feet. No turbulence, no vans at 2 in the morning, no hotel. Chris, yeah. are you shocked at the energy of these games? God, they feel like playoff games.
Yeah, no, you know what? I'm not shocked. I'm very happy with it. I think that was one thing everybody was going to be a little skeptical over, was the intensity and you know, just getting the rust off and getting back. But these guys are, you know, they're coming in and playing very hard and they seem to be in a great rhythm. I mean, after 4 or 5 months off, you know, that's very difficult to do. It's essentially like playing another season, but you have to give credit to all the players for being prepared and picking up right where they left off.
Yeah, it's been great. Now, it's interesting. I was saying this. If you went to the last 7 NBA champions, Heat twice, Warriors twice, all of them had what was, as a 2 or a 3 player, either a Hall of Famer, a Klay Thompson, somebody exceptional, Draymond Green, Defensive Player of the Year. We too often go, who are your best 2 players? But the third player, there's almost Kyle Lowry last year, is a hell of a third player because Siakam and Kawhi Leonard. So I put it up on my board here. Mm-hmm. Kevin Love, you were often perceived as the 3, although you're going to be a Hall of Famer. I look at the Lakers right now. Chris, Kyle Kuzma's a kid. He's averaging 12 a game. I feel like the team is too LeBron AD centric. They don't feel like a championship team to me. Do they? Do you?
I mean, they do. And, you know, that's one of the challenges all the time, right? I mean, if you're going to be a championship team, you have to do what you do well, right? You have to be the best team in the league. You definitely have to spread the wealth. And at the same time, your top 2 guys, top 3 guys, they have to do their job and make their averages and exceed their averages in order to be successful. I think this is a very interesting point in time for Kyle Kuzma. I think, you know, he's expected to fill that role. I think everybody's looking for him to fill that role. But at the same time, it's not easy. You know, you have to adjust in so many different ways. And him being a young player, you know, it's a challenge, but I think they can figure things out. I think they do do a good job of getting AD the ball quite a bit.
Yes.
LeBron's going to be LeBron. You know, they're going to have to, they do have to have that guy to step up and just be consistent, really. And as a team, I think, you know, with J.R. Smith, Deion Waiters, they're still trying to figure some things out. But, you know, that's what these 8 games are for. I think they play the third one tonight or tomorrow. And, you know, we'll see what happens. But I think this is kind of like another situation and we're going to have to, you know, just redo everything and they're going to have to relearn everything and kind of come back together as a team.
Let me ask you, you had a physical situation at the end of your career, Zion Williamson. He played 33 minutes pre-bubble. Now he's playing 15, 16. He's frustrated. Are the Pelicans being too cautious with what appears to be one of the next faces of the league, Zion Williamson?
You know, that's one of the interesting things with the league, you know, in the, what's it called, the maintenance program?
Yeah.
You know, it's a slippery slope. I mean, you're trying to mitigate injury and make sure your best players don't get hurt. But I feel that there, at the same time, there is a when do you learn to push through things?
Right.
You know, I think we get, or the league gets too caught up, or some players and teams get too caught up in saying, well, hey, for later, for that championship we're going to compete for later. And, you know, they never get to it because everybody was resting and chilling. And, you know, and he wants to play. And I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he'll be fine out there playing. But, and maybe they know some things that we don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, you definitely, I mean, when you're 19, 20 years old, putting a minute restriction, I mean, it's, you know, I guess, you know, I'm from a little bit of a different generation, you know, and I know things change, and that's great. But I would like to see Zion out there more. I mean, yeah. You know, he's a great player. He has a great upside, and I want to see him play. I haven't seen him play. I mean, I wanted to watch him at Duke. He got hurt. Okay. They only played a couple tournament games and then, you know, played one summer league game. And then he was injured for the season. So, you know, I want to see him play consistently.
So you left Toronto, despite it being a good organization, and to join a super team. And I said this about Giannis. I said, I love Giannis, and I think he's earnest when he says, I want to stay in Milwaukee. But if they can't get to the finals, Chris Middleton's a max player. It's not a free agent hub like a Miami. I could see Giannis saying, listen, man, I'm I'm in my window. I got 6 years in this window. I got to start putting up titles.
Yeah.
What you did that. What's going through his head?
I mean, you know, I think it's having short-term goals in the beginning, right?
Right.
I'm sure he's there. He's totally present. He wants to bring a championship to Milwaukee. He wants to defend his MVP title. He wants to be the best player out there. I think that, you know, that goes without saying. But eventually, I mean, to get there. And I mean, look, in my career, you know, being the number one or whatever you want to call it, we barely made the playoffs. It was fighting like hell to make the playoffs.
Right.
And then, you know, then we're out of there in five or six games. You know, but to constantly knock at the door and not get through. And, yeah, that's kind of tough. Let's say they do theoretically make the finals and play the Lakers or the Clippers. I mean, when, you know, you're who you are, they're sending the whole team at you and you have to depend on your teammates to make plays. And, you know, and then again, on the other side, you're having to guard LeBron and AD and Dwight Howard and then close out to Danny Green and Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith. You know, it's very difficult situations. I think they still have time to put things together, but I mean, that'll definitely be a huge, huge question. And it's so fascinating because this free agency period is going to be very, very quick. So, you know, Giannis could potentially be in another uniform by the end of the year, you know.
There's no question. Listen, I only got a minute left. Miami Heat. I think Spoelstra's always been underrated. They got two undrafted guys starting. Give me a minute. Your thoughts about the Heat, their season, and what they did, which shocked everybody.
I think the Heat are always just going to be one of the things about Spo. He's going to have you ready. You're going to be in shape. You're going to move the ball. They're going to have the system in place, and that's going to give you a chance to win night in and night out. And I think, you know, he's getting better with delivering those messages. And, you know, the young guys, undrafted guys, seem to have confidence. I mean, they're letting the ball go, shooting very well. Bam Adebayo is playing, you know, the way he should be playing as an all-star, and you know, the franchise cornerstone of that team, as well as Jimmy Butler. But I think in this situation, with this bubble situation, that's one of the most dangerous teams out there to me, because there's no home court advantage. If we're just talking about tossing the ball up and playing, man, the Heat are going to make it tough on you every single time.
Yeah. No, they are. It's amazing. They're one of those teams. Houston's become this now. They'll shoot 53s. They don't care. I mean, they just
– yeah. they're going to let it go.
They're going to let it go. Chris, you're all class. It's great hearing from you again. Best of luck to you and your fam.
Thank you very much, man. I appreciate it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Okay, we do it every Monday. I have a lot of big opinions. I swing and miss a lot. Hold ourselves accountable. Where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong on a Monday, here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Don't think the Lakers are a championship team, and it all comes down to one fundamental issue. I don't trust the supporting cast. They have no number three. Yesterday against Toronto, LeBron goes to the bench. Raptors 10-0 run. Danny Green, 20 minutes, 0 points. Folks, you can't win a championship if you do not have a dependable three. This is a weird reality show. Hard Knocks meets the Lakers group of disparate parts. But I like Danny Green, but I don't depend on him as a number three guy. So, I mean, last year in Toronto, he was their four. There were times he was a five. So I just don't think they're a championship team. And I think you've seen this now. AD yesterday faltered, and there's nobody there to pick up the pieces.
Where Colin was wrong.
Russell Westbrook played as good an NBA game as he has in a long time, and the Rockets are 2-0 in the bubble. They're not only 2-0, but they've been great defensively down the stretch against Milwaukee, and they've been great late in games. Dallas outplayed them. Yeah, they got it to overtime and won. Milwaukee outplayed them for most of the game. Last 7 minutes, 6 minutes, they outplayed them. That's always been the Achilles heel of Houston. They unravel late in games. Westbrook unravels late. Harden unravels. They don't play defense. Yesterday, they were great late, and they played real defense. Westbrook was sensational. Almost perfect at the free throw line. 10 of 21. I got all the good side of Westbrook. I love that play. Huge energy, and I got efficiency. When I can get efficiency from Westbrook, that's when we can talk MVP. Not triple doubles. When I get the energy, the intensity, and I don't get these highs and lows, he was a really special player yesterday.
Where Colin was right.
Russell Wilson finally got respect. I've been saying this for years. NFL Top 100, he was not only the second player, he was above Patrick Mahomes. He has done more with less offensively than any player in this league in recent memory. O-lines have been below average. Pro Football Focus has it at 28 this year. Their best running back's a seventh rounder. They don't really address the tight end situation, and their defense isn't what it used to be. He was also one of the four players, quarterbacks ever, to be a unanimous tier one player in that athletic piece they do. So this week, players respect him, NFL.com list, and executives respect him, the athletic piece. It's about time.
Where Colin was wrong.
Carson Wentz, however, was not a top 100 player, and Josh Allen was. Okay, take out his rookie year. Never count a rookie. We don't count Mahomes' rookie year, Lamar's rookie year. Take out his rookie year. He has a 98 passer rating, 81 touchdowns, 21 picks, and that's last year losing everybody on the perimeter and having offensive line issues. I don't get it. I don't get what people are not seeing. Well, Nick Foles. Nick Foles won a Super Bowl based on home field playoff games accumulated by great play, MVP-level play by Carson Wentz. Howie Roseman's a smart GM. Even with the injury, signed him early to a deal. I don't get what you don't see.
Where Colin was right.
Now, eight Patriots have opted out. Sure, it's all just a crazy, zany coincidence. I've been on this for 2 months. They didn't have a plan post-Brady. They didn't keep their own free agents. They weren't aggressive on the free agent market. They let their kicker go. And players they thought, they're really good players. And now, five times the league average. Some teams haven't had a player opt out. They're up to eight. An NFL exec said last week, doubling down on what we said, this is not random. Bill's up to something. What is he up to? Belichick, like everybody in the NFL, scouts 2 years in advance. They know this is the first time in years there are three A-plus quarterback prospects. You can't win in this league, as New England knows, without a Hall of Fame-level guy consistently running the ship, and they want one of them.
Where Colin was wrong.
If you'd have told me that Carmelo Anthony at 36 would be in great shape and a crucial piece to a team, I would have laughed. Carmelo Anthony matters to the Blazers. They got Nurkic. They got points down low. They got Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum. They don't have a wing score. Melo's in the best shape of his life, totally coachable, and he's frankly incredibly crucial to this offense. They don't have a wing score. They got great guards who don't play a lot of D, and Nurkic is a dog. He is a really good player, and he's back. But they don't have a wing score. Melo, prove me wrong. He's really important. He's in really good shape. He is totally accepting his role. Took a while. But when Portland picked him up, I said, oh, give me a break. It's a paycheck. Nope. He matters. He's there. He's current. He's into it. And he's hitting shots that matter.
Where Colin was right.
Kyler Murray made the top 100 list. This kid is special. outside of Arizona watch more Cardinal games than anybody in the league. I'll tell you right now, I think he throws the most catchable football. I think he's got great accuracy, unbelievable playmaking footwork. And behind last year an offensive line, in the toughest division in football, behind a very mediocre offensive line, 20 passing touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns, and a passer rating in the high 80s. He gave San Francisco's defensive line fits. He beat Seattle as well. And he played 1 year of college football. Like, I did not think it was going to be this good, but I said by about week 3, okay, this is Russell Wilson. A little smaller version. I think he may throw a better ball than Russell Wilson. And NFL players voted him in the top 100, and I think he is. I think he is a top 100 player right now.
Where Colin was wrong.
I never thought in a million years the New York Jets would get 2 first-round picks, a 3rd-round pick, and a starting safety for Jamal Adams. The safety position of the 10 units in the NFL, only tight end, pays less than safety. Jamal Adams fetched that? That's incredible. In fact, only 8 players in the last 20 years have fetched 2 first-round picks. 8! And they're like all offensive players except for like Khalil Mack. You do not get 2 first-rounders, a 3rd, and a starter, a good starter at safety for a safety. Blew me away. I mean, I said you have to trade him at that point. I mean, I love my house. If you're going to pay 35% more than it's worth, I'm going to move. I mean, at that point for the Jets, you're doing really a disservice to your organization because you have Marcus May, who's already a very good young safety. You're just making a mistake. If you don't take 2 firsts, a 3rd, and a starter, you don't know what you're doing. Like, they had to move him, and I am shocked the haul they got.
Where Colin was right.
Said it in 2017, 3 years ago. Aaron Judge is the next face of baseball. He's got a Zion quality. The look, the likability, the joyfulness, the charisma, the size, and he is Paul Bunyan. I saw him hit 2 jacks yesterday. I'll let you see, I think, the second one we got. This is Babe Ruthian. Watch.
Fly ball, deep left field, way back there. Aaron Judge, adios amigo. Oh, is he hot? His second home run of the night. Aaron Judge is guilty of putting the Yankees into the lead with his second home run of the night, a bomb into the night. It is 9-7 New York.
Listen, they did this thing years ago, chicks dig the long ball. That was like a big baseball-like marketing thing. You can't deny it. Big home run hitters, when they hit them like that, he hit one in the second deck. It's the Zion quality. It's like people don't hit second deck homers all the time. And he's got the look and the size and... This is the one I saw live. Look at that puppy. That is a monster. So here he is.
Where Colin was right.
Sam Darnold continues to get absolutely no help. Baker Mayfield's got an all-star team. Josh Allen's got a great coaching staff. In 1 week, Jamal Adams was traded and C.J. Mosley opt out. And the week before, Jamal Adams ripped the coach and the owner's saying stupid crap. I mean, in the noisiest offseason, what do we always say? The noisier your offseason, the worse your regular season. It's like Dallas last year had an incredibly noisy offseason. They underachieved. The Jets are the noisiest team in the NFL. The coach, the star player, the owner. Thank God Joe Douglas knows what he's doing as GM. What a shock. A mess with the Jets.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Aaron Rodgers came out last week, very mature, very adult. Aaron comes out and talks about, listen, man, you don't move up in the first round to get a quarterback and think I'm going to play for the next 10 years and end my career in Green Bay. Then yesterday, Matt LaFleur came out, and instead of just being brutally honest, it was kind of this disingenuous, phony PC, I love Aaron. Okay. So I'm going to put Aaron's bites, juxtapose them next to Matt LaFleur's bites. Aaron's temperament, I feel he's being totally forthright and honest with me. Not so much the coach.
Just look at the facts. You know, they traded up, they drafted him. I would say they like him. They want to play him.
Right now, most importantly, Aaron's our quarterback, and I see him here for a really long time.
Now I think quarterbacks are playing earlier. It gives, you know, give some latitude for young coaches and GMs.
Nothing's guaranteed in this league, but I feel so lucky to be able to work with him on a daily basis.
Was I bummed out? Of course. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't be? Mm-hmm. You know, like I wanted to play my entire career in Green Bay. I love the city. I grew up there.
You know, I don't see that changing for a really long time.
So if Matt LaFleur is being honest, and I don't think he is, Green Bay doesn't know what they're doing. So Green Bay, I don't believe, has as good a roster as six NFC teams. San Francisco, Philly, Saints, Tampa, Minnesota, Dallas. Better than Seattle, barely. Well, just take San Francisco. San Francisco played Green Bay twice. Significantly better roster. They added two first-round picks that can play. Brandon Ayuk, wide receiver, Arizona State, really good. In Shanahan's system, pop first year. And then a Javon Kinlaw, defensive tackle. Oh, by the way, they got Trent Williams. They traded for a Hall of Fame left tackle. Green Bay, I'm supposed to believe, picked a player in the first round who won't play and then gave up a fourth rounder to move up and get him. What are you doing? Aren't you chasing San Francisco? San Francisco added three great players, and they're already better. Like, what are you doing? Like, to me, Aaron's being totally forthright, no passive-aggressive. Listen, I get the game. Green Bay is saying, it's going to be here a long time. Then why would you draft him? So this is one of my complaints, that when you are a head coach or a general manager, I have a GM, Brett Veach, Chiefs, coming on next hour. You've got to prepare for press conferences. And this year, Matt LaFleur's got to prepare for press conferences. This is going to get asked a lot. Because once you draft a guy, everybody except Aaron Rodgers last 10 years, every quarterback drafted in the first round last 10 years except Aaron Rodgers has played in the first 2 years. Jordan Love's going to play. But you got to know how to answer the question. So we're going to do fake press conference. All right, fake press conference. I am going to be Matt LaFleur. Look at that. Very nice. I don't look like him. Okay, so John, let's have, okay, fake press conference.
All right.
Okay, so I'm going to prepare for this fake press conference. I got my notes. And Joy Taylor is going to be a series of different hardened, cynical journalists. Go ahead.
Bill, Sheboygan Press. After hearing Aaron's comments last week about Jordan Love, how should Aaron feel about the team drafting Jordan?
Well, Aaron's a total adult. I mean, don't draft a quarterback in the first round if you think it's going to hurt your quarterback's feelings. I never had to worry about that. There's a lot of quarterbacks that would have been bothered by it. They're insecure. Aaron Rodgers is a first ballot Hall of Famer with one ring and probably more coming.
Martha, Green Bay Press Gazette. Why did the team feel the need to move up to get Jordan Love?
Well, if your quarterback's 36 and has had a couple of injuries in the last several years, you either draft a quarterback or you go from 13-3, Martha, to 3-13 really quickly. This is a family. We're all in this together. We have not had a bad quarterback at this organization in 25 years. We're not starting now.
Frank, Lacrosse Tribune.
Hi, Frank.
How much have you talked to Aaron in the last few months?
Oh, I talk to Aaron all the time. He's the most important player in our organization.
Okay. Bart, Kenosha Times. Are you worried about the quarterback situation becoming a distraction?
For opponents, I think we're going to be very confusing to prepare for. Not at all. This is, in fact, this is year two. I am more comfortable this morning than I've ever been with Aaron Rodgers. I think our comfort level is sensational. I've never felt more comfortable with a quarterback in my life, with a player in my life, than Aaron Rodgers.
This is Wally from the Eau Claire Leader Telegram.
You guys are still in business?
We are. Going strong. Do you still feel this team can contend for a Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback?
Absolutely. No question.
Shirley from the Cheesehead blog. How tough is it to coach a personality like Aaron?
Well, I don't really understand the question. I don't think... How hard is it to coach Aaron? It's the easiest guy I've ever coached. Every coach in the world wants Aaron Rodgers. Who wouldn't want Aaron Rodgers?
This is Joy Taylor from FS1.
I watch that show all the time. It's the one show in the country that seems to be brilliant and breaks news. And all GMs trust your show. The host, not so much. Joy, you're excellent, though.
Thank you, Matt. How long do you think Aaron will be a Green Bay Packer?
If he ages as well as Tom Brady, there's some magic potion in Foxborough, Jordan Love will be a really great trade piece in 3 years. And I am feeling very good about both the development of Jordan Love and the health of Aaron Rodgers this morning.
Colin Cowherd from The Herd.
Yeah, whatever.
Have you noticed a decline in Aaron's play?
Well, we were 13-3. You find me a head coach. If we win 12 games, are we declining? I don't see that. I know what I see on film, and Aaron makes more difficult throws than anybody in the league.
Has this team gotten better since last season?
Yes, because Aaron and I have worked together. I think the symmetry offensively is better. And remember, last year we went out and made several free agent moves on the defensive side. It takes years to adjust to a system. So I think on both sides of the ball, we're going to be more equipped for change, more equipped to quickly pivot in games and during the week. I think we're a better football team and a smarter football team today than a year ago. Was that difficult? These are not difficult questions. I mean, I don't understand this. Oh, we hope we have him a long time. Well, then that begs the next question. Then why'd you give up 2 draft picks to get him? Listen, all you have to say is if Aaron ages as well as Tom Brady, Jordan's going to be a hell of a draft piece in 3 years. All you have to say is if you don't draft what you perceive as a great prospect, our scouts come back to me and say, this is what we were saying about Aaron 10 years ago. If you don't take advantage of that, we're a rolled ankle from 13-3 to 3-13. I don't think these are difficult questions.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, one of the things I love about the NFL, Joy and I were talking about, there's a lot of young NBA coaches I really like. They're very clever. There's a lot of young general managers in the NFL, and these guys will make deals. You know, the old days, the old NFL general managers, here's your roster, you're standing pat. The NFL's become very NBA-like. You got a lot of young, early 40-year-old GMs. I talked and texted to many of them. They're deal makers. And Brett Veach, fourth year, is only 42 years old. And he's frankly, he's got his Hall of Fame coach. He's got a Hall of Fame quarterback talent. If you can get that, you just make everything else work. And he is joining us, 42 years old, which is really young to own the world. And he is joining us via the Coward Global Satellite Network. So let's go back to I want you to tell me a story. So you're out there and you get a piece of video and there's this Patrick Mahomes kid on it in college. And, you know, it's the Big 12. It's probably 58-57, like all those Big 12 games. Give me the moment you first saw him, Brett, and your first reaction to Patrick Mahomes as a college prospect.
Well, really, Colin, it was an SEC game. I remember watching the bowl game, I guess, his sophomore year where they played LSU. And, you know, the kid was certainly undermatched, and he single-handedly kept his Texas team in the game. And you know, the kid just went up and down the field, made plays, and we're seeing him do the same thing on the NFL level.
So then all of a sudden you start comprising scouts, and then you got to go to Andy Reid, who knows a thing or two about football. You've been with him since Philadelphia. And take me to your first conversation to Andy Reid about this kid named Patrick Mahomes from the Big 12.
Well, as it were to happen, you know, when I was watching Pat over the spring, Andy just happened to walk by the office and we were kind of joking around. And I said, Coach, I think this could be the next quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, he kind of glanced and caught a couple plays and stored it in the back of his mind. But I remember later down the road in the fall in September, October, just start sending him clips and clips of the kid, and to the point where, you know, coach is dialed in, he's locked in for this week's opponent, where he actually texted me to just stop texting him and just leave him alone for a while. And there'll be time for that. But and then, Colin, another funny story too is once we got once the college season had ended, coach shot me a text. Now remember, this goes back to the spring and shooting him a little video text during the fall. Coach calls me in his office and he had a copy, a printout, and it was actually like a McShay and Kuiper mock draft. And And he showed it to me. He said, you know, this kid you've been talking and showing me videos on, he said, I just got this mock draft, and here we are late December, early January. So the kid's not even on the list. Are you sure you're watching the right kid? So we joked about it, and it certainly didn't take long for other teams to jump on board and fall in love with the kid too, and we were just happy we made it work.
So you get him in. It's very lucky where you've got one of the great offensive minds in football, Andy Reid. You also have you're fortunate you have Alex Smith, who's a great mentor, a really good human being. So it's the perfect scenario. You don't have to play him much for the first year. And then you play him, and he blows everybody away. So go to the moment that you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, okay, I may have a $300 million quarterback in my hands. When did you decide, let's just wrap this up? I'm not wasting any time. I got a lottery ticket. He's a good human being. He's a good player. Was there a moment of practice, a game, when you just said, I just want to get this contract done now?
Well, I mean, every time you draft a quarterback, that's certainly your goal and intent to extend them to a long-term deal. But, you know, Patrick he's special. He's unique. And really, Colin, as you mentioned, we just had the perfect setup with a fabulous coaching staff. And then Alex Smith, as you mentioned, just a fantastic mentor. But if you go back his rookie year, there's a couple of throws at training camp where, you know, myself, the coaches, our personnel staff, we just kind of looked at each other in almost disbelief. And a couple of the throws I think have made it to the internet, Colin, but I'll have to send you a few. There was this one red zone throw, corner of the end zone, where I still to this day don't know how he made the throw. And you just, and keep in mind, these are the best players in the world he's doing it against, right? And this is him going against the one at the time, the three offense versus the one defense. And he's just, you know, making life very difficult for our starters and just doing it with such ease that you knew right away it was only a matter of time until you know, he showed the whole league and the whole country what he can do. And again, as soon as the window opened up to do his extension, we were obviously anxious to get it done.
So now, though, and you pay Chris Jones, who we've had on the show. He's a great player. So you got Mahomes, you got Chris Jones. Do you feel it does put a little pressure on you, Brett, now? You got to get some of these draft picks right. Not everybody can be expensive. Do you sense, hey, have you told your scouting staff, we got to burrow down on this stuff because we got to hit some fourth-round picks now?
Sure. And I think not only just the draft picks, just anytime you have the opportunity to acquire talent on the waiver wire or any transactional period, I mean, we have to be good. I think, you know, we saw that last year and we had some defensive ends go down and some offensive linemen go down, but not just the draft, but, you know, your practice squad has to be on point. Your emergency board during the season when guys get injured has to be on point because, you know, you certainly just can't go out there and have big free agent spendings now because of the talent that we have on our roster. But yeah, certainly the draft is the main area to secure some cheaper talent, but also, again, practice squads, waiver wires, claims. I mean, we have to be on point in all those things.
You know, Andy Reid is, I've said this before, Belichick is a legendary coach. His coaching tree is not as good as Andy Reid's. And I think some of that is just Andy is the NFL's best teacher. You were with him. I mean, you played in college, then you got on the staff, and then you become a scout, and then you become personnel director, and then you go to Kansas City. What was the first one or two lessons that Andy Reid, as a great mentor, taught you about personnel? Like something that you're like, he saw it through the end of the telescope, others didn't, and it sticks with you today.
Well, I don't know if I can just rattle off something specifically, but just in a general sense, just – the working environment and how you can really learn something from everybody. And I remember when I first started working from coach fresh out of college, a little intimidated because here we have a Hall of Fame type coach, one of the best in the game. And when, you know, he asked you to do a certain report or a project, just thinking, I mean, this guy has all the answers. Why is he asking me? But, his understanding that everybody has something different and unique to bring to the table. You can always learn something from someone, whether it be a 20-year offensive coordinator, a 20-year GM, or you know, a young intern or first-year guy. Andy has that ability to understand that everybody brings something different and unique to the table, and I think that helps me in my career as I carry on, knowing that, you know, your ability to grow and adapt and develop in this position is going to come from all different areas, from veterans, scouts, from veteran coaches, but also young guys, young coaches, young interns, young scouts.
You know, there's a guy you drafted. He's kind of a fascinating player. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a running back for LSU. He's not a burner. I mean, there's a lot of things I look at him and I think I can't put my arms around why he's so damn effective. But every time I watched him, he turned 4 into 7 and 7 into 9 yards. So when you first saw him from LSU, I think he's a fascinating player where I could see somebody watching him on film and he wouldn't pop. He wouldn't jump through the film. What makes him special in your opinion?
Well, it is funny, you know, Colin, when we got together prior to the combine and we had a chance to watch the running backs, the first thing you do is you see the measurables. So you see a kid that's 5'7" and change and 200 pounds and, you know, not a blazer, not a 4'3" or 4'4" guy. So you're thinking to yourself, all right, smaller running back, 4'5", 4'6". All right, let's just get through the tape and we'll be on to the next guy. And all of a sudden you put on the tape and the guy is just, he's one of those guys that you can't wait to get to the next game and to the next game. He's got rare vision and rare instincts. And some guys are just born with that, Colin. And you can't really, point to a specific game or play. It's just his body of work. It's something he's born with. I think we saw that in LeSean McCoy, where, you know, LeSean McCoy wasn't a 4'3" guy and he wasn't 225 pounds, but he just has the ability to understand where the holes are going to open, and he plays the game in slow motion, anticipates very well. And that's what we saw with Clyde, a guy that just, he's a natural football player, and those guys are hard to find.
You know, I think you were a college roommate at Delaware. I see a Delaware Blue Hens helmet over your right shoulder and a Chiefs on the left with Matt Nagy, coach of the Bears, who I love. And, you know, we always talk about what matters for quarterbacks. What do you see? So give me something that, like, when you look at a quarterback, you talked about measurables. Is there an aspect of quarterback play that when you watch, you think is a little under-discussed or under-talked about? Something that matters to you and Andy that a guy like me, a sports talk show host, doesn't really talk about a lot, but it matters, maybe granular, it may be big, for quarterbacks.
Well, I just think the ability to ad-lib, make plays, and really throw off unbalanced platforms. And really, that was one of the things that really jumped out with Pat. Everyone knows how strong his arm is. And there's a lot of quarterbacks that have strong arms. But his ability to throw with accuracy off platform, I mean, shoot the 3rd and 15 play in the Super Bowl there. I mean, he took about a 15-step drop and threw it off his back leg. But you know, I think we're obviously going to gravitate to leadership and intelligence and arm strength. But when you really get into it, I mean, the athleticism on the defensive line is very intimidating at this level. And these guys are on you. They're on you quick. And it's very rare to get clean pockets consistently through 4 quarters. So Pat's ability to throw with accuracy from different platforms is certainly special and unique. And with Andy Reid's creativity and play calling, it's just a special combination.
Well, Andy Reid is probably having just some ribs for lunch now. And he said, you know, did you and Andy Reid ever go out and not talk football?
Well, we don't have to go out because we see each other about 20 times a day. I see him more than I do my own family. So he's right down the hall. And probably when I get off this Zoom call with you, Colin, I'll be down his office and talking some football. So fortunately, that's something I don't need to worry about.
Yeah. 42 years old, Brett Veach, Chiefs GM. Congratulations. Andy speaks highly of you. Thanks so much for making us smarter. And good luck to everybody. And right in the middle of the country, the NFL's next star is right in the middle of the country. And that's why the league is so profoundly popular. And Brett, thanks for coming on the show.
Colin, thanks for your time. Hope you're staying safe and look forward to seeing you hopefully in Tampa this year.